with your first look at this week's college football lines. This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here's Jonathan Von Tobel.
Number one, Michigan. Number two, Washington. Number three, Texas. And number four, Alabama. The college football playoff has been set. We do have our semifinal matchups. We have sides. We have totals. And we've got bowl games coming out as well throughout the next 2 hours. So here in College Lines Revealed, last episode of the season, we will go over everything from a college football playoff and bowl game standpoint. But Pam, have to begin with the news of the day. And of course, that is the top four being revealed, and namely, the fourth seed. I thought I was going to get a free dinner at Barry's. I don't know if you guys saw this. So last night I tweeted out what I believe to be the top four were going to be, which was Washington, Michigan, Texas, and Florida State.
Right.
Paulie Howard, host of Follow the Money here on the network, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, responded, said, "Barry's on me twice. If you nail this," thought I was going to get it. But ultimately, it is Alabama who makes it in as the fourth seed in the college football playoff. Pam, I'll give you the floor first. You seem upset about this. You can go whatever direction you want. But your thoughts on the committee deciding that Alabama should take that final spot over Florida State?
I'm a little bummed, honestly. It is kind of overwhelming for me at the moment that I have the emotional effect of FSU being left out is overtaking my excitement that my Texas Longhorns are in with Quinn Ewers behind center. I'm very excited for that matchup. I'm so excited. I can't wait to go to that. I would love to be there in the stands to watch Texas in the semifinal. But JBT and I, we've both been super high on Alabama all season. Yes, I agree that Alabama is the better team. Yes, I agree that they have more weapons. The SEC is kind of important, significant. It's a big win over Georgia, who's been undefeated the last couple of seasons. That is thrown out the window when you have an FSU team that has been undefeated, and they have been the only team now to be left out of the top four of the college football playoff undefeated as a Power Five conference. That is unruling, and it's just unnerving that, yeah, it erases everything you've done in the regular season out the window. What are you saying to us? Next year, it's going to be worse when we have the 12-team playoff. This is foreshadowing into an SEC team against an SEC team. SEC is always just going to reign supreme. I thought that the playoff, adding more teams to the mix, would kind of alleviate that a little bit. They're telling us now what to expect in the years to come.
Yeah, it's all SEC Big Ten because Washington, of course, is on its way to the Big Ten. And here's the thing. So I think what you're kind of hitting on here, because there's a lot of different stuff. And let's go back to last year, because this is the thing that I think drives people crazy for the most part, which is this year we're doing four best teams.
Yeah.
Last year, we weren't doing the four best teams. The year in which Cincinnati was allowed into the college football playoff, we weren't doing the four best teams. And yet, in the hours leading up to the college football playoff rankings being revealed, all I heard was, "We're doing the four best teams. It's what we've always done." That's what you've never done. You've never done that to this point. We've had these conversations. That was the big one last year. Again, we talk about it from the Alabama standpoint last season. Two losses. What would Nick Saban keep doing? Oh, on a neutral, we'd be favored over all these teams. Blah, blah, blah. We're one of the best four. We should get in. But they did not get in. And yet here we are now. And for some reason, all of a sudden, it is the four best teams. Yeah. And that is, I think, something that drives people nuts. It's not even the decision to ignore Florida State's resume and what they did and say, hey, you know what? The regular season doesn't really matter. It's more about the inconsistency from which we have seen this. And I was talking with Mike Palm in the moments right before we came on the air. And it's the same thing. You and I were echoing the same sentiment, which is, again, why you should never and why we as networks should never really give them time. There is no point in watching any of the college football playoff rankings being revealed throughout the entire season.
Yep.
Why keep Florida State 4-5 throughout the entire year if at the end you were just going to go, and especially the last couple of weeks, and at the end you were just going to allow Alabama to jump over them in this regard? Those are the things that drive you nuts.
And honestly, I'm a little bit infuriated. I'm peeved because no Power Five team has ever gone unbeaten, won its conference title, and then failed to make the playoff. And it is just a big slap in the face to the college football. They have failed the game. They failed the sport. And it's unnerving. It really is unnerving. As much as I love college football and I'm as excited as I am for Texas, and as much as I have grown to love Alabama from like a personal perspective, because I feel like we've grown with them every Saturday talking about them in such depth, it's just not, it's unfair. And Jordan Travis, he's not the one who won 13 games. It is the team. And they have, now you're going to talk about the second the third string quarterback. Go ahead.
So here's the thing. Caesar, could we probe Johnny Vello's numbers? Because here's the other part that I think is flawed when it comes to these arguments, right? Which is, it's got to be the four best teams. Well, if it's the four best teams, then it should be Michigan, Georgia, Oregon, and Alabama into this college football playoff. These are college football power rankings from Johnny Avello, the sportsbook director over at DraftKings. Now, I will say right out front, I actually very much disagree with LSU being the seventh best team in college football, but that's neither here nor there. But if you're looking at this, because people keep making the argument like, well, would you bet Florida State against Alabama? Well, that's not the case, because if you're going to make that argument, then Oregon, a team that lost twice to Washington, would be in ahead of them if you're going by the rank, by the power rating, or by the Vegas rating, if you will. So I think when you look at just all of this, when we get down to it, we'll get to the lines here in just a second as we end this one, because there's no need to talk about it any longer, right? We're here. But that's just what drives people insane. It's inconsistency. And at the end of the day, it should, your resume should matter. The games that you play should matter. And in these rankings, they do, up into a certain extent. Texas beat Alabama, so they are ranked ahead of Alabama. But because Florida State, I don't know, I guess when you get to four, now it's best teams, they get eliminated from college football playoff contention. So with that, we do have the matchup set. We do have these games that are out. We do have odds on these matchups. So you got to calm down, Pam. You got to take a deep breath, and you got to look at every single one of these and decide what you want to do here. Let us start with the, what is this, the Sugar Bowl? Is that what we're doing here? Whatever we're doing here, whatever. All right, opening line, Michigan and Alabama. And this is actually the Rose Bowl, excuse me. Michigan and Alabama. Michigan opens up, Pam, as a 2.5-point favorite. Total at 46.5. We are sitting currently at DraftKings. Michigan is a 2-point favorite with a total of 46. Let's start with this matchup here. When you hear Michigan minus 2 with a total of 46, your initial thoughts, either side or total?
Alabama money line with no hesitation. This is just a far superior offense and defense. If you're going to give me two solid defenses, then I'm going to take the better quarterback every single time. And this is an Alabama team that is obviously paying attention to the analytics. Yesterday, I mentioned the reason why I love them against Georgia was because they recognize there's an opportunity to capitalize on one of the weaknesses of Georgia, and that is outside the tackles, utilizing that run game, and use it, they did. Georgia was giving up 5.5 yards per carry. That's 92nd in the country. 19 of 37 attempts from the Alabama rushing offense were from that left and right ends, having most of the success on the left side. Murrow himself, 51 of 64 yards, were on the left, were on the far right. They utilized it perfectly, and it was to their benefit. They were just the better offense through and through. Now you tied in with that defense. They held Georgia running back Kendall Milton. He had a career high 156 yards last week, and he had only 42 yards yesterday. Is just a well-rounded, great team who have found their stride. The offensive line yesterday did give up 4 sacks. That's the most they've given up in recent weeks, but the turnovers weren't there. Mm-hmm. Milroe was so good with his ability to just read the defenses. He did what he was supposed to. The defense showed out. This is easy for me. Milroe over McCarthy. Come on.
So I don't necessarily disagree from a side perspective. You tell me now, pick a side, it would be Alabama. And I think one of the things that ties into this, and I actually feel more strongly about the total, but one of the things that ties into this that you did not mention, we watched Michigan lose Zach Zinter, their right guard, all conference, in that game against Ohio State. Right tackle has been an issue for Michigan for the very, like, we'll call it the later portion of the season, but you've seen it here and there throughout the entire season. So with that issue up front for Michigan, taking on this Alabama defense, which has some very solid pieces along the edge, I think that's going to be a problem for an offense that is already very limited, I think. And we actually saw that against Iowa. Like, they did not look good offensively again against Iowa in the Big Ten Championship game. You can tell me that they were hiding things, that they didn't want to reveal part of their playbook, but whatever it is, we have now seen multiple times that this Michigan offense does look eerily similar to the ones that looked like they have been up against it in terms of keeping up with some of their opponents in the college football playoff in the last few years. So there's that. I think Alabama's going to be able to take advantage of that. I think from a secondary standpoint, Alabama's defensive backs matching up with some wide receivers. These wide receivers have not seen a secondary like Alabama yet. Again, being able to limit them there. On the flip side, I do think Michigan is a legitimately good defensive team. It's the one question I don't have about Michigan here. Correct. And so there's going to be, I think, an ability to contain Jalen Milroe and this defense to a certain extent. Because I thought yesterday, watching Alabama and Georgia, one of the things that was very shocking about the loss was Georgia in the miscommunications defense. offensively. They were all over the place. The wheel route out of the backfield where there's nobody for like 10 yards. The final touchdown on the crossing route where there's not a Georgia defender that comes in the camera shot for right. like 10 feet. It was shocking to see how badly they were playing from a communication standpoint. Michigan's not going to do that. And so when I put all these things together, I'm going to sit back, see if the market's going to bet this thing over, but I'm going to bet this game under. I think that this is one of these games that, unlike like SEC championship game or other those where you get all these good athletes on the field and they tend to go over, I think that these two strengths are good enough defensively and the issues with Michigan on offense that I'm willing to look at this game under and have a stronger opinion about betting this under than I would about taking Alabama as a side, although I do believe they are the side here.
I love Alabama's defense. We've been high on them all season long. The only argument to make for anybody who's maybe interested in backing Michigan and the argument that Georgia fumbled all over themselves yesterday with miscommunication, yes, but how much of that also was contributed by some of the injuries at the QB position players? All of them, a majority of the wide receiver core came into this a little bit banged up. Ra-Ra Thomas was not in the lineup. The right tackle was Rutledge, he was coming into this with an injury, and then also Ladd McConkey, he had a brace on before the game, yet he still played, and when you saw him out on the field, he was limping, he was not 100%. Even Brock Bowers, he had a couple of spots where you're like, okay, he's not healthy. It wasn't a healthy receiving core, which is potentially where all of the miscommunication came from, because that's all his wide receiver groups, which is why also we saw Carson Beck struggle against Georgia Tech. It was kind of the same similar situations, but more so, I mean, yes, they still were in it. Michigan just offensively to me just doesn't have what it takes to come out with an outright win. They would have to win with their defense, because I'm not going to trust JJ McCarthy, who has yet to prove his value yet as a quarterback before Michigan right now.
We do have one bowl game officially set as well, so we will get to that outside of course the national semifinals. How about I put this two teams, DGAF teams as we're going to call them, facing off in the Orange Bowl. We'll tell you who they are a little bit later in College Lines Revealed.
College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You're going to get unlimited access to our VSiN.com picks page, and you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event data, more on said page. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard as well. And for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, 24/7 video access, and daily write-ups in every single sport. Check it out now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Introductory offer for those who are not pro subscribers, only $9.99. Part of that content too, by the way, check out the NBA in-season tournament hub, where Zach Cohen and myself have written up all the quarterfinal games that start on Monday. Back here at College Lines Revealed, it is Jonathan Von Tobel and Pamela Maldonado. Our field is set. If you're just driving around, maybe didn't hear it, Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama, your top four. Michigan and Alabama will face one another, Washington and Texas, the other semifinal matchup. So a reminder for our audience that Michigan did open up as a 2.5-point favorite, total of 46. We were down to 2 with a total of 46 at DraftKings. Not a ton of movement yet. We'll see. I would venture a guess and say that, Pam, I think by the time we get to kickoff, it's going to be Michigan 1 or pick. I don't know if Alabama will go off as a favorite, but it also would be the most shocking thing in the world, as I'll say in faraway places, correct, we are down to Michigan minus 1.
Correct, which is why I am going to be grabbing Alabama today, and because I have all the belief that the line would move in favor of Alabama come kickoff.
Yeah, total 2 is just flat. It's 46. Be very fascinated to see what the market does here. And actually, as I speak that too, so Circa did open up their numbers as well. They opened this up Michigan minus 2, initially moved to minus 2.5. Well, they just opened it up to the market, it seems, because as I speak, down to pick here at Circa for that with a total of 46. So we'll see if the entire market follows suit. But right now, Circa just flashed a pick for Alabama and Michigan. Let's talk about the next matchup here. Texas and Washington. This is the Sugar Bowl. Texas opens up as a 5-point favorite here at Circa and immediately goes to 3.5. I shouldn't say immediately, within 6 minutes. We're back up to 4 with a total of 65.5. Pam, can you be unbiased in your analysis of this game? You know, you asked me to say something to your Twitter followers in the video. I did mean what I said. I actually do think Washington, taking the points with Washington, I think that we have, at this point, we can kind of assume Washington has been a little undervalued by the market, at least when we've gotten up to this point. 9.5 on Friday is a pretty good example of that, against Oregon in a game in which they led wire to wire. And I think Washington, one of the things that I cannot wait to watch here is, if you were to nitpick, which you have to do here with these teams at this point of the season.
Right.
For a weakness for Texas on defense, I think it is their defensive backfield. Right. And if you're going to be able to exploit one weakness, exactly, it would be with a dynamic passing attack and one of the best wide receivers in college football, which Washington has.
Exactly. This is a mismatch. The only, and it's a tale of two teams. Like, you have Washington, who's very heavy into pocket passing. They don't utilize the run game as they should, but it's definitely there as the ability. Whereas you have Texas, who, because they have such a solid run game, it opens up the passing game for Quinn Ewers, who is now 5 interceptions in his last 5 games. Turnovers, you cannot make those mistakes, not into the playoffs. This is Michael Penix. I would be inclined to want to back the underdog. I will not have any skin in this game because I'm not going to bet on or against my team. But what I saw from Michael Penix yesterday, and what was a huge difference maker over the weekend against Bo Nix, was there's such a difference in him being able to process that defense. He's able to read them, and he's very good and solid in those high pressured situations, whereas Bo Nix was failing. So if it was he was orchestrating, he was 27 of 39. His stat lines are not going to throw you out of the water. He had 300 passing yards, but it was more so about how he was able to direct the drives. He had 75 and 82 yard drives in the fourth quarter to overcome a 24-20 deficit. Everything was cool, calm, collected, smart decision making. He didn't force any passes where they weren't, and he was sharp with them. He was hitting his targets, and that's what we saw in the first matchup against Oregon, which I thought could be maybe come into fruition again. If it comes down to quarterback play, it's going to be Michael Penix over Quinn Ewers, but this is such a solid running game for Texas. It's going to be interesting to see if Coach Sark is going to keep it to the ground and pound, or if he is going to let Quinn kind of bomb it downfield.
So that's a question that I have for you here as we watch this now. So Quinn Ewers, if I were to tell you stat line wise, yesterday in the Big 12 championship game, looked good, right? 35 of 46, 452 yards, 9.8 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. He did commit a single turnover on the play. That was that interception. So overall, numbers look solid. One of these metrics that we like to use, one of the grading systems that we like to use, Pro Football Focus, had him with a 66.5 PFF passing grade. So pretty average in terms of breaking down what he actually did. One of the shocking things when you break down his numbers is when he was kept clean, he was not very good, actually, right. 60.2. When he was under pressure, his passing grade went up to a 77.3. So the question here is, do you trust Quinn Ewers? What can Quinn Ewers do? Because Washington defensively, you're going to immediately gravitate toward their rush defense, which currently, as it sits, 99th in the country, expected points added by opponents via the rushing game.
Right.
Having said that, they are 31st whenever an opponent drops back. So they're much better from a pass coverage standpoint, from an ability to cover. And this is the interesting dynamic of what you see here. Running game could work for Texas. I think it's very much true. But does Quinn Ewers do you enough here to allow you to win and cover this number, win by that margin?
What we've seen, it kind of expected. It was like the player prop of the century, Quinn Ewers, to throw an interception. The thing is, he can throw an interception and still excel. He had 400 passing yards yesterday. It's a matter of like when that interception comes rather than whether he's going to have one or not. Just expect it. That's kind of his MO at this point. With it, why they could rely on the heavy run game is because they keep finding weapons on the run game. Out goes Jonathan Brooks. In comes CJ Baxter, who was a complete stud to fill in for his role. And then came Jaden Blue, who was a complimentary to Baxter. Well, now you have a 1-2 punch. In yesterday's game, they found a third punch, and that was with Keelan Robinson. He had 75 yards on 4 carries plus 2 scores. Now you've got a 1-2-3 punch that you're not having to put all of the pressure onto Quinn Ewers. The deep ball ability is there. He has been more precise this season, more consistent, more accurate than last year. Last year, it was kind of like, are we going to get... It was a boom or bust type of player. This year, he's shown a lot more consistency with his game. Now, because you have these multiple players on the ground game, it really can alleviate the pressure. But if it comes down to like a 2-minute mark, if it comes down to a high pressure situation to close out the half, to close out the game, I'm not sure that I would put the trust in him.
So as I've said, I believe that Michigan and Alabama is a game that I believe is going to go under that total. Mm-hmm. And right now, again, still sitting at 46 for that one. We are sitting at 63.5 here at DraftKings. A couple of the spots that were opened up at 64 are down to 63.5. Let me ask you this. Am I right in thinking that side, this is one that is side is correlated to outcome. So what I mean by that is if I am somebody like me who likes Washington plus 4.5, who thinks they're going to be live inside of this number, I believe that this is a game that potentially goes over the total because Washington is going to have offensive success. While I think Washington is better defensively than what the general collective think, they're still a team that is susceptible to strong running games. I think Texas has that. Steve Sarkisian is a very good play caller. He's going to scheme up some offense here. But I believe that Washington, if they're going to win and be successful, cover a number, this is going to be a high scoring game. If Texas is going to win, that means this defense, this defensive line is going to start to flex its muscle a little bit here. If they're going to win and cover and win by this margin, this game's going under because part of that path to victory is holding down Michael Penix Jr. and the Washington Huskies offensively.
I would lend more towards the over because this could revert. This could become a pass heavy game because both of the defenses are shutting down the run games. We know how strong of a front Texas has on that defensive front, that you have a solid pass rush. Washington, I was actually really impressed with their defense when they played against Oregon. How much of it was the second time playing them, the familiarity is there, or was it that Washington's defense has improved? 20 yards from Bucky Irving. That was just like absurd to me. He's one of the best running backs. He's definitely the best player on that Oregon offense. And they shut him down. That and they've been utilizing the run game a little bit more with Dylan Johnson. So because we could see the attempts of the run game, but not having success, it turns into a pass heavy game. Whoever eliminates or prevents having the mistakes, then yeah, pass heavy game lends to the over.
Who do you think this bracket favors the most?
Texas, Alabama.
Texas and Alabama.
That's what they want. That's what they want in the championship.
Well, I don't know what they SEC. Want. I'm asking Pam. What does Pam think?
Alabama, Texas. Yeah. I think Texas's defense is the key factor in this.
I think
as that, great of a quarterback as Michael Penix is.
Sure. I would say that the at least for a path, obviously, to a national championship game, it does favor Washington in that you at least get an opponent that you can pick on one single weakness that you do particularly well. Mm-hmm. For Michigan, I mean, like we kind of alluded to, and you know, you showed me the video of them when the fourth team was announced. Congratulations on being the best team in college football and grabbing the one seed. You get Alabama.
Yep.
That is that's pretty brutal for a team like Michigan who had everything in front of them to now have to deal with that. By the way, the odds to win this whole thing now. Michigan plus 180, the favorite. Alabama 2-1. Texas plus 260, and not a surprise, bringing up the rear from a power rating standpoint, the lowest power rated team in the college football playoff right now. Washington at plus 650. So minuscule margin between Michigan and Alabama, slightly wider margin between those two and Texas, and then an even bigger margin between Texas and Washington as we can kind of surmise from there. By the way, FSU Athletic Director Michael Alford did chime in, quote, "The consequences of giving in to a narrative of the moment are destructive, far-reaching, and permanent, not just for Florida State, but college football as a whole. It is unforgivable." Wow, man, dramatic. It does suck. Jordan Travis also released a statement actually apologizing for breaking his leg, it seemed.
That's pretty sad.
Like, that's pretty depressing when you really think about it. But let's get a little happier. You know who's going to make us laugh? Matt Eumanns. Matt Eumanns is a ray of sunshine. He'll join us next, get his thoughts on what the committee's decision was and what we are looking at now for the college football playoff semifinals.
College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the association, the game changes in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Speaking of the NBA, in-season tournament play starts tomorrow. No games today. Took the day off the association to get out of the way of the college football playoff ranking in the National Football League, and we get two games tomorrow. Cannot wait to watch those. And if you want it, we have an NBA in-season tournament hub up at vsin.com. All right, let's welcome in Matt Eumanns, one of our many esteemed hosts here on the network, host of VSiN Tonight. Yes, that's the name of the show. Matt, we appreciate it. So I know that you probably don't care. I know because you told us. But we should start with just the big topic. Just your general thoughts on what the committee did, putting in Alabama over Florida State. And I'll say this. I think what irritates a lot of people is just the inconsistency. You can say this year it's the best teams, but last year it wasn't the best teams because you put in TCU over Alabama. I think that's why people get riled up. It's just different year to year, week to week.
I mean, what would you expect from the playoff committee? It's a crooked committee of clowns, and really they're under the table dealings, backroom politics. There's a lot of different stuff that goes on. And I think most people who get all bent out of shape just fail to acknowledge or recognize that the Big Ten and the SEC have all the power. And some of these other conferences don't have much influence or power. And that's a lot of what it comes down to. So I don't get all bent out of shape about this stuff on Twitter like some people do. I expected it was going to be Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama. And, hey, let's face it, it sucks for Florida State. I don't like it either, but maybe Jordan Travis should not have been out there running around when you're a 48-point favorite against North Alabama. And, you know, that's something to regret. And, hey, let's look at it. Florida State would have been at least a 7, probably a double-digit underdog against every playoff team. So I'm not going to cry about Florida State being left out.
Well, let's take a look at some of the greener pastures, and we have the postseason, all of the bowl games. It's one of my favorite times of year, but it's honestly like it's become increasingly difficult over the last couple of seasons because of the transfer portal, because players are now more often than not opting out. What is your strategy for handicapping the bowl season?
That's a good question, Pam. I was talking about that with somebody a couple of days ago. I said, you know, the past couple of years, the bowl season has changed a lot. And this year, the changes are going to be more dramatic than ever. We're going to see more players sitting out. We've already got more transfers than we've ever had at this point. And I think it's going to be more challenging to handicap. But you have to be careful about which teams you're going to play early and make sure that you really study these teams and that the key players are not going to be missing. The teams you want to bet, you got to make sure key players are not going to be sitting out or missing, or that you're going to be on the wrong side of a line move. And I think that's the biggest challenge for handicappers. I'll give you one game that I'm looking at that we know a matchup, and it's a Hawaii Bowl on December 23rd, and that's Coastal Carolina against San Jose State. I want to play San Jose, and I'd love to lay less than 7 in that game. And we know that Siobhan Cordero, the quarterback for the Spartans, was from Hawaii, is not going to be sitting out that game, and San Jose is not going to have a bunch of players sitting out for the draft or transferring. So I feel pretty secure in betting San Jose. I'd like to lay less than 7. But yeah, that's a great question that you have to study this stuff a lot more. And there could be some dramatic line moves in these bowl games.
So before we get to that, let's expand on that really quickly. Like, for example, outside of opt-outs, Matt, our give a F and don't give a F teams, right? Like your motivation. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get the two of them to face off with one another. What in the world do you do motivationally with Florida State and Georgia in the Orange Bowl?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm probably not going to bet Florida State. I think that Georgia's going to be around a 13-point favorite. And, you know, Tate Rodemaker is going to be back at quarterback for the Seminoles. So what we saw last night, it's not going to be the same Florida State team that we see in the bowl game. But again, Kirby Smart's a pretty good motivator. And even though the Bulldogs may not give an F, I actually think they're going to show up for this game. This is still a team with a lot of pride. Had, what, a 29 or 30 game win streak that was snapped yesterday by Alabama. And I think Georgia will go there and kind of, you know, make a statement that we deserve to be a playoff team. I don't know. That's maybe a phony motivation, but I think Georgia's going to play with some pride and probably just has too much. You watched Florida State last night. I think the under might be a good bet in that game too.
Yeah.
Hey, this Florida State defense is outstanding. And that's, you know, we're talking about Florida State getting left out because of the quarterback. Florida State's got a playoff-worthy defense. There's no question about it. That defense is outstanding, and I think Georgia's going to have a hard time putting up a lot of points, but also I don't think Florida State's going to be scoring much in that game, so I'm probably going to look under. Probably not going to look at the underdog. That was just, aside from one big play on that quarterback run last night, Florida State just couldn't generate anything offensively, and I wouldn't expect a whole lot to be different in that bowl game. But you're right about the motivation question too. I mean, that's something we talk about every year in the bowl season, location, motivation, a lot of different things you handicap. And that's one of those games where which team's going to be motivated. You could say Florida State's ticked off, but not making the playoff and wants to make a statement, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be incredibly deflating for the Seminoles not to be in the playoff after being an unbeaten Power Five conference champ. And I have to think that Georgia is probably just going to be the much better team in that game.
And let's look at the teams that we know for sure are 100% motivated. And of course, that's the college football playoffs. Washington right now is 4.5 dogs to Texas, my Longhorns. But to me, this is a tale of two quarterbacks. You have Quinn Ewers, who's kind of a little bit more of a liability. Michael Penix, he's obviously still potentially a Heisman, at least an invite. What do you make of this matchup for early thoughts?
Ewers is interesting because he's inconsistent. At times he looks really good, and I'll make a couple bad throws, like yesterday when he hit the linebacker between the numbers. And I actually like Washington a little bit in this game. Now, I liked Washington against Oregon on Friday night, too, and the betting market was just hammering the Ducks like they were going to destroy the Huskies. Kalen DeBoer is one of the best coaches in college football. Look at his record. Look at what he's done over the past 3 or 4 years. I don't want to bet against Kalen DeBoer and bet on Sark and Quinn Ewers in that matchup. So I like Washington, and I'm going to grab the 5. Do you guys see a 5 out there in the screen? Because I think 4.5 was the highest number I was seeing. But it seems like the betting market's, you know, been down on the Huskies, and I'm not. I think Washington grabbing the points there. Might be the bet for me.
Yeah, there's 1.5 out there, Matt, but predominantly 4s across the board. There were a couple of 5s early, but the market agrees. I agree with you, too. I also think this kind of correlates a little bit more to a higher scoring game, right? If Washington's going to win, this thing might go over the total of 63.5, but we haven't really seen much movement there. All right, what do we do with Alabama and Michigan then? Because I lean a little bit toward the Alabama side, but I feel stronger that this game is going to go under the total of 46, and we're at least seeing 45.5s appear. And how about this? When we were getting you on, Circa flashed to pick before getting bet back up to Michigan -1.5.
Well, okay, so I agree with what you said there. I leaned Alabama in this game too, and that's why another reason why I'm not crying about Florida State being left out of the playoff is because we're talking about you and I leaning towards Bama against the number one seed, Michigan, right? So I watched the Big Ten title game last night. My life is not better because of it. Michigan, 12 first downs, 213 total yards, 34 rushing attempts for 66 yards against Iowa.
Yep.
I'm thoroughly unimpressed with the Big Ten this season as a whole, and I'm not sure that Michigan deserves to be a 2. When this number came out, it was 2.5. I was like, please let this hit 3. I'm taking Bama +3, and it never got there. I was waiting. I know Dan Saley, college football handicapper from Vegas, he bought the half point. He already bought it to Bama +3. I did not do that. But I'm leaning Bama here. I just don't think this Michigan offense is that explosive. And, you know, that Big Ten title game yesterday kind of tells you a lot when you look at it. 213 total yards and 12 first downs against an Iowa team that couldn't get a first down offensively. The Iowa offense was doing nothing in that game. And I'm not giving the Michigan defense a ton of credit for that because that Iowa offense is one of the worst I've ever seen.
Well, Matt, everybody on social media told me that Michigan was just hiding things. You're just not showing their full deck of cards, Matt. That's what they're doing.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope they got a couple more cards than they showed last night because that was not too impressive. And, you know, I'm just talking over the course of the season, too, JVT. You know this. You looked at Michigan's body of work. One of the Wolverines' best wins against UNLV.
Yep.
UNLV's a good team, but UNLV just got beat by 24 in the Mountain West Championship game. So,
yep. Okay. No, completely agree. Absolutely agree. And I also agree with your assessment that the Big Ten this year did low-key stink. It was not very good as a whole.
Low-key.
All right, Matt, we appreciate it. We're up against it. Thanks for the time today, though, man.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, you bet. Yep. Thanks.
Yeah, that is, you know, I've heard like a lot of like this thought, Pam, that like, oh, we don't know about Michigan yet. No, sometimes we do know, right? Sometimes teams are screaming at you, this is what I am, right? And yet we kind of refuse to see it. And it's like, no. Like they're hiding things. Everything's going to be, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think that Michigan's really going to be up against it from an off. I mean, we talked about betting this game under. A team total under would be very interesting to see when this thing gets opposed to what we're going to look at here.
It's Michigan against everybody.
I mean, it seems like everybody's playing defense against them considering how bad they've been on offense. All right, we'll take our break. When we come back, do we have another guest coming up? Oh, yeah, we do. How about that? Nick Bruner's going to be with us. DraftKings trading manager, get his thoughts on the process of setting these things up. And what these next 24 hours are going to be like as the Vols get set.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. Juice Reel links your betting accounts into one app, delivers in-depth betting analytics on your betting history. And there's much more at Juice Reel. You have access to the betting history of billions of bets placed by all Juice Reel users. It's in-depth betting analytics with billions of data points that enables you to tail the winning bettors and fade the losers. Juice Reel also has developed an AI bot. How about that? Future use of the data from all the Juice Reel bets. Robo Jackson's picking winners at a rate of 60% through more than 100 games. Find out yourself. Download Juice Reel. Juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the App Store, Apple, or Google Play. It's free. Juice Reel. Juice, R-E-E-L. All right, let's welcome in Matt Bruner. Nice enough to meet me, Nick Bruner. I combined Matt Grill and Nick Bruner together. Nice enough to give us some time here today. DraftKings trading manager, Nick. We appreciate the time. So, actually, I'll ask this. How easy is today, right? You guys have your power ratings. You guys are all set. You're just waiting for the matchups. You plug it in. You go, right?
Right, guys. Yeah. Happy to be on. Crazy morning and night of action. Guys, I can report for the make the playoff markets. It was just incredible. The action these markets were taking. A lot of changes in the odds, you know, over the course of the last 24 hours, you know, the market's opinion of Florida State and Alabama in terms of who deserves to be in. Seems to have drastically shifted. You know, we had some opening prices that were different than some other shops, notably Florida State and Alabama. You know, happy to say, like, I feel like our lines were very close to the closing odds despite that difference, guys. So yeah, pretty happy with the way things shook out.
Well, in terms of the yes, no playoffs in the, you know, 12, 18 hours after all the games were over, where did you guys acquire the most liability and what was the most popular?
Well, guys, as far as liability, I can tell you that Georgia, once that got up to, you know, 12-1 this morning, yeah, that was a popular pick. You know, we really took some two-way on a lot of these guys just with the way the lines were moving so drastically. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy to report we did a great job. I feel like I'm very proud of the traders and the team here in terms of managing the markets and making sure we're in a good spot.
We're entering the bowl season, so that means as the matches are put together to the time that they are actually kicking off, how are you guys making the line adjustments with the teams that are potentially sitting players out or maybe losing players to the transfer portal from now until kickoff?
Oh, it's almost an impossible task. Pam, I'm glad that you bring that up, but just with the way the transfer portal is now. And I mean, I think, could any of us tell the other person how many quarterbacks are in the transfer portal right now? I mean, there's a ton of guys. And on top of that, when a guy is in the transfer portal, is he going to play in the bowl game or is he not? You know, that obviously makes an enormous difference to the line. One example I like to mention is, I think it was 2 years ago, Emory Jones said he was going to transfer out of Florida, and lo and behold, he's there in the bowl game playing. So, you know, just because a guy puts his name in the portal doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to play. And that just makes our job in terms of making lines, you know, really hard to do.
So then what do you guys do with your ratings here? Right? Because I would assume, Nick, you don't entirely throw them out, but, you know, you can't just plug in, like, for example, the other bowl that we have set, San Jose State and Coastal Carolina in the Hawaii Bowl. You can't just pull up your ratings, plug them in, and go, okay, here's the line, because we already know that Coastal Carolina is going through some transfers. San Jose State's got a quarterback who used to play for Hawaii. He's going to be highly motivated. Like, there's so many different factors. So what do you do with your power ratings?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the power ratings are not going to be your end-all, be-all, especially come bowl season because of, you know, what you're saying. So, you know, you have to stick to your power ratings, obviously, but I feel like once the bowl games hit, you know, there's another aspect at play. It's a lot more information driven as opposed to, you know, we line these teams up every week and most of the market gets that information over the course of 6 days. But guys, that's not necessarily going to happen in these bowl games. So in terms of what do we do with our power ratings, you know, you just have to kind of like lower your weighting of them. And be able to take in more information than a simple power rating, you know, plug them in and see what the line is, because that's just not how these bowl games are played, guys.
Nick Bruner, senior trader over at DraftKings. All right, Nick, before we get to the semifinals, you as a guy who just watches the sport, what'd you make of the committee's decision to include Alabama and exclude Florida State?
Thought it was the right call. I thought it was, you know, obviously a very tough decision to leave out an undefeated power conference team with quality wins in Florida State, you know, out of conference. Couple big ones, you know, one at Clemson. I mean, they deserved it, you know, but when you lose such a a key quarterback, and the committee has, you know, some criteria out there that says, you know, if a player's availability becomes in question and could affect future performance, like that's something they consider. So when you factor that in, I feel like they really did make the best decision.
All right, so let's start with the first one then, the big one. Congratulations, Michigan, right, Nick? You get Alabama. What did you guys open? What did you make the total, and what has the early action been like for this first semifinal matchup?
Yep, so we opened 2.5, Michigan favored. We're currently sitting 2, definitely seeing some Bama money coming in, but I think Michigan's a deserved, you know, couple-point favorite there. Currently sitting at 46 on the total, but yeah, early money coming in on Bama.
How much, as we kind of wait for these games to get set, and right, we're not going to play these games for nearly a month. What does the action look like in terms of handle in the weeks leading up? How much do you guys take today? How much do you guys take throughout the days? And how does it compare to actual game day?
Well, you know, that's a good question. In terms of on game day, you know, we're going to be taking, you know, as the game gets closer, your limits are going to increase. You know, that's just kind of bookmaking. But we're with the way these lines are, and just like, you know, these are not bowl games that like where other guys are sitting out. So we feel pretty good about the lines. We're taking, you know, $1,000 bets on these games now, you know, a month out. So I definitely anticipate that only growing and growing, but these are going to be very liquid markets, not ones that, you know, we're going to be scared to take action on. It's going to be a, you know, several million dollar decisions by the time these games kick off.
Definitely the bigger matchup, at least what could be the most popular, would be Texas against Washington.
My bias is speaking
for sure, Hook'em. But no, this is like a tale of two teams right now. You have Texas has a very good defense with a capable offense, and then you have Washington, of course, is heavily relied on Michael Penix Jr. Where do you expect this line to move by the time kickoff comes off?
Great question. I don't expect it to move too much at all. At DraftKings, we're currently sitting at Texas -4.5, and it seems to be a pretty steady line out there. Guys, right around 4, 4.5. I think most shops open this line anywhere from 3 to 5, and I really don't expect it to get any kind of crazy movement. I think these are two teams that we kind of know who they are at this point, and they've both proven themselves over and over again. I think Texas deserves to be, you know, a little bit more in a 3-point favorite here, and I kind of think that's where it closes, guys.
Okay, I like it. All right, from a total standpoint, for this one specifically, do you think that this is one where we start to see the market come in over? I was making the case, Nick, that I think this is a game where it's correlated to a side. You like Washington, I think it goes over. If it's Texas game, it goes under.
I like that. I like that, JBT. I like your thinking there. And, you know, I'm just going to agree with you there. I think that's a good call.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Nick, before we get you out of here, overall, as we approach now bowl season and we look at how much these games are going to go up, how much sleep do you get over the next like 2-3 days as these games are going to get up? And of course, in the weeks leading up to all of the bowls.
Oh, guys, I don't know if anything's going to replicate the action that we saw over the last 24 hours with these playoff markets. I can't emphasize that enough. Just thrilled with the betting interest there. But yeah, you know, this time of year is a grind, and, you know, we're also talking about hoops picking up full steam with conference play getting started. So, you know, if you like college football, college basketball, yeah, you're not sleeping too much this time of year.
That's a good point. Nick Bruner, senior trader, DraftKings. Nick, it's always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for joining us throughout the season. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it. All right, so again, Washington and Texas, 4.5 with a total of 63.5.
Tell me, though, that of the final four teams, Texas will not have the biggest fan base.
I think you are. I'll say this. I think you are wrong in that from a viewership standpoint, Alabama and Michigan are going to blow Texas, Washington out of the water. Only because it's not Texas. I don't think people care about Washington.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's part of the problem. But a Texas-Alabama, Texas-Michigan championship game, it'll be massive.
The Washington-Oregon game was one of the most watched games of the season.
Yeah, it was a Friday night all by itself.
Okay.
I was here with Mike Palm when we were watching that game together on Friday night, and we even made that comment, which is there's a reason why the Pac-12 puts it on Friday night, because there's nothing else going on, and you want to watch, like, right, because there's nothing else. Like, let's watch this championship game.
Right.
I mean, you're watching that, or you're watching, I mean, I was watching New Mexico State Liberty, but there's a reason why the Pac-12 wants its own day, because if you were to put the Pac-12 on a day like yesterday, where everybody else is watching everything, including your Texas Longhorns, they would kind of get smoked. So I don't think many people, because especially with Washington, Washington. I don't think there's that many people who've watched Washington maybe once this year, and it was on Friday.
Could they even name Michael Penix as the quarterback?
That's probably the most that they'll be able to give you. But that's it. Outside of that, no shot. Their head coach? No way. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it's not a slight against your Texas Longhorns. It's more of a slight against their opponent.
I'm just trying to think of, like, is there any type of home field between these two matchups anywhere? Considering a fan base.
Yeah, I think Sugar Bowl favors Texas a bit.
Yeah.
Don't you share a border?
Of course. That's what I'm
learned that during the week or like during the season. Paul Stone, hey, who, by the way, is going to join us. He's the one that told me. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, we'll reset the field and where we're at, but we'll also give you my top five give a F and don't give a F teams for bowl season.
Your first look at this week's college football lines. This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the sports betting network. Here's Jonathan Von Tobel.
We are College Lines Revealed, presented by DraftKings. It's VSiN, the sports betting network, with Jonathan Von Tobel and Pamela Maldonado. The college football playoff has been set. Number one, Michigan will take on Alabama. And Texas will take on Washington in two matchups that should be a lot of fun. And you would hope, because the college football playoff semifinal has a long history of being absolute doo-doo. We should get some really good games coming up here when we get to New Year's Day. With that, we have set the table. We have talked about this, but bowl season is here. So I decided, Pam, I'm going to make some lists. Part of one of the big things about bowl season that a lot of people like to do, they like to play amateur psychologists. They like to pretend that they know that these teams are motivated or not motivated, and you're going to hear every which way why a team cares or doesn't care. So I've decided to do it myself, and I have made up a list really with, like, I don't know. I just went through the list and I was like, all right, these teams. Okay, boom. Let's think five. So these are my top five. I call them gaff teams. You can think about what GAF means. But my top five gaff teams in bowl season. And these are, by the way, I want to tell you, thank you. Because when I said them to you, they were numbered. I did not mean them to be ranked. So I appreciate you not putting numbers on them, because I don't think like one, two, or three. But these are my five teams that will absolutely give a bleep in bowl season. You tell me if you disagree. James Madison was allowed to get in, of course, not in the bowl teams, in. UNLV, first bowl in over 10 years, and a bowl win, hilarious, for UNLV. New Mexico State, Jerry Kill, what they've been able to do. You love New Mexico State after watching what their season transpired. A very heavily motivated team. Northwestern, after what happened in the offseason, you rally around your interim coach. He gets the job. You get bowl eligibility after a win over Purdue. You're going to be hyped up and ready to go. Same thing with Georgia Tech. Given the fact that this team got to where it's at, let's go. Georgia Tech, a motivated bowl team. Any disagreements with my top five give a F bowl teams this bowl season?
I think James Madison gives me pause, only because their quarterback, who has been an absolute stud this season, over 3,400 passing yards, Jordan McLeod, he entered the transfer portal. So it's kind of what we were just talking about, right? A little while ago.
Don't hit me with malicious facts. Do you think James Madison is going to be motivated? Who cares about whether or not their starting quarterback is going to be there? Motivation is the question here.
Meh.
What do you mean, meh?
Meh.
You really don't think that they're going to care? First bowl in program history?
First bowl in program. I mean, yeah, but you also had the chance to go undefeated. Then you lost, and then you're not getting into. I mean, yeah. I mean, I would just, out of all the options, because of those options, I would say James Madison potentially could be the least motivated, simply because you're potentially playing without your quarterback. Is he still going to play the bowl? That's a big question mark, but he has entered the transfer portal.
They did respond with a beatdown of Coastal Carolina after losing to App State in that matchup. Went on the road to Coastal, whooped the crap out of them, 56-14.
Season over. Way to close it out.
Yep. And as you mentioned, Jordan McLeod, to enter the transfer portal. This is going to be the third time that he is going to do that. So it did really state it to my coaches and teammates who become family. I'm proud of what we have done here, blah, blah, blah. Not that proud, because you're leaving. So we'll see if that comes a day after. Of course, Kurt Cignetti, to your point as well, who coached James Madison for five seasons, he was announced as a new head coach at Indiana. So while they might be extremely motivated, James Madison potentially without, of course, their starting quarterback and their head coach. But motivation knows no bounds.
I will say most motivated, New Mexico State and UNLV. Those are absolutely perfect cases for both of those teams. UNLV had such a fantastic season, making it into the championship game for the first time ever. And then, of course, New Mexico State, they didn't play in the COVID year. Their last winning regular season was back in 2002. They themselves, highly motivated to close it out.
It will be interesting to watch for UNLV's perspective, because Who's the starting quarterback for UNLV? Jaden Mayava got benched yesterday for it was a terrible performance. And the kid who has played well all year long but was weeping on the sidelines because he did not play well in a Mountain West championship game, Doug Brumfield, the quarterback who was the original starter for them at the beginning of the season, ended up coming in. Who the starting quarterback for me will be for UNLV is going to be a question. But overall, I think to your point, very strong. Although the wording from the press conference and everything yesterday was kind of weird because there was a lot of, this was a good season, don't forget it. It's like, you guys got one more game left. You got a bowl. Let's go, folks. But I think you and I are lockstep. New Mexico State going to be highly motivated.
It's just very difficult this time of year to figure out motivation for any team, honestly.
No, Pam, we know everything.
We need to talk about the bowl season strategy because it has become. I used to love bowl season. A few years ago, I used to do a handicap on every single bowl game. That quit. After the transfer portal, I was like, I'm done. I can't do it. I can't keep up with it. It has become increasingly difficult because not only of the transfer portal, but now we have seen more players opt and sit out, and it's like you can't keep up. They're being called. They're deciding day of, oh, I'm not going to play. So unless you follow these beat writers, you're actively searching Twitter of who is in and who is out on that day of the lineup. Do not be betting these pre. You're not getting good numbers. These are numbers are going to change and alter. They may want to play now. Come 3 weeks when they actually have that bowl game. They may not.
Unless you have information, right? Like, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. For example, I know a good one. Alabama, Kansas State last year, right? So everybody thought the assumption was like, Alabama, of course, they're not going to care. Bryce Young's going to leave. He's going to opt out. And Bryce Young ended up playing.
Correct.
And they ended up beating Kansas State and covering that number. So,
but early information also doesn't help because we had early indications that a couple seasons ago, UNC, all of their wide receivers were sitting out and they were playing against A&M. None of it mattered. They still put a whooping. Like, it was Sam Howell.
Information matters in terms of closing line value, but to your point, right? Like, it's like, even if you have closing line value, it doesn't really matter because sometimes bowl season is weird.
Correct.
Absolutely. All right. So those are my top five give a F bowl teams. Here are my top five don't give a F bowl teams coming into this year, this bowl season. Two of them are going to play one another. So I probably should have thought of maybe one more. Florida State and Georgia. This is going to be somewhat tough because I was making the case, you could liken Florida State to a program that is in that very state, which was UCF all those years ago when they went undefeated, didn't make it. And then, of course, took on Auburn in the Peach Bowl and ended up winning that. And then they actually put up a banner and gave everybody rings for like a faux national championship. Does Florida, you can make the argument Florida State would be highly motivated coming into this game. You can make the argument that Florida State would be extremely unmotivated.
Deflated.
Given the fact that
I wouldn't say unmotivated, just deflated.
Right. So I think they belong here, but who knows? Georgia, same thing. When you've won consecutive national championships, you've only lost one game in your last 30. And now you got to go play in the Orange Bowl against Florida State. Are you going to be that motivated when you have guys with pro aspirations on the roster? Not entirely sure, but it has been brought up. I think Newman's brought it up with us. Kirby Smart did make his team believe last year that somebody had picked them to go 7-5. So nobody had done that, but he had still motivated them to the point where after they won the national championship, they were actually screaming that nobody believed in Georgia, which was not the case. If you got to get a motivator, might not be the case, but at the least with the first two, Florida State, Georgia, do you disagree?
With the first two, it's very difficult. For Florida State, I'm repeat it. It's not that they're not motivated. It's the wins have been taken out of them. They no longer if I feel terrible as I did this morning over my Longhorns, I was so deflated for this team. How are they going to feel? I don't know if they're going to be able to rebound from this emotionally in time for a bowl game. Georgia, I honestly don't think they care. They haven't been in this position. This is going to be so interesting to see what the line is. Two, who are they playing? Do we know who they're going to play against?
Yeah, it's Florida State, Georgia.
Florida State, Georgia,
It's going to be the Orange Bowl.
Yeah. I would say more motivated between these two, probably Florida State, because I don't know if Georgia is even going to give any two.
This is also the weird part about like these decisions that we don't know the ramifications of how it makes people feel. Jordan Travis, and I kind of laugh, but this is kind of sad. I laugh at the disbelief of it. Tweeted out, devastated, heartbroken. It's so much disbelief right now. I wish my leg broke earlier in the season so you guys could see that this team is much more than the quarterback. I thought results matter. 13-0, and this roster matches up across any team in those top four rankings. Yeah. I am so sorry.
Jeez.
Go Noles. It almost seems like Travis apologizing for potentially breaking his leg. Obviously, he should not be. And it does speak to, it was a weird decision overall that I include Florida State. So who knows? Maybe it is a rallying cry. The other three give a F or don't give a F teams in my top five list. Clemson, We know what's going on with Clemson, right? A team that had been competing for bowl, excuse me, for national championships, very down year, did get to 8 wins. It seemed to really rally and turn things around at the end of the season. So I think this is like the shakiest of the 5 that I have put in there. USC, who in the world knows what's going on there? I don't think you're going to get Caleb Williams. I think you're going to have multiple guys dip out, whether via transfer or getting ready for the NFL draft. And then this is a sneaky one, I think. Air Force had everything in front of them at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. They were going to be undefeated. They could go to the Mountain West Championship game. Completely fell apart, starting with that loss to Army. Lost 4 straight to end the season. You're talking about a team that was potentially pushing for a New Year's 6. Now it's going to be in some random bowl with a Mountain West tie. I don't know how. Look, it's the Service Academy.
Playing in San Antonio, you know, or something.
Right. The Service Academy, America, motivation, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not sure how motivated they'll be. What do you make of the last 3, Clemson, USC, and Air Force?
I fully disagree that Clemson should not be on the does not care list. They fully, like, after their 4th loss of the season, losing to NC State, back-to-back losses to Miami and then NC State, and then to rally as they did to win 4 straight to close out the season strong, that is the indicator that they actually do care, because that at that moment they knew they weren't going into a playoff. They're not going to even make it into a New Year's. We don't even know if they're going to be bowl eligible, but this is a team that, like, rallied together. They've always had a strong defense from start to finish. They were just trying to find that offense. A lot of these players are on the younger end, so they're going to be having a lot of key players return next year. Yeah, I think they're going to want to whoop whoever it is they're playing.
And to your point, too, about, like, information writing, things changing. So if we go back to my top 5 teams who do give a F about bowl season, news coming out about 3 minutes ago or so, UNLV offense coordinator Brennan Marion, he had interviewed for the San Diego State job. He did not get it. He is in a final interview with UTEP, so he's going to be among the final candidates for the UTEP coaching job. So that is going to be a potential where UNLV does not have their offensive coordinator who really helped turn things around, helped develop Jade Maiava. So again, to your point, right, information coming fast and furious. Now, an offensive coordinator is not going to change a line, right, with whatever happens, but not having your OC, which originated this offense that UNLV runs, you're going to see these situations quite a bit if he indeed gets this job.
But at least they were finding out now on December 3rd that bowl game is not going to be for another couple of weeks. They have time to adjust. So a change last minute is largely drastic than a change made a couple of weeks in advance.
Yep. So right now, again, no bowls outside of what we know. The Orange Bowl has been set. The Hawaii Bowl has been set. The Hawaii Bowl, of course, San Jose State in Coastal Carolina. So when those lines are up, if we get them officially, we'll see. I know some projections have been Georgia minus 12 in the Florida State game. It's an official line, so we'll see what indeed that is going to be by the time we get them. Let's take our break. We'll come back. We could talk a little bit more about bowl season overall, what we expect from these teams as well in the semifinal. It is College Lines Revealed here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, don't know what you're waiting for. You get a lot of benefits, including the Pro Tools, my favorite, the NBA Daily Player Prop Analyzer. How about that? You get the history of player props in terms of points, rebounds, and assists, where they were, where they're at, the record against the current number, and their record overall. Absolutely fantastic tool. One of the many that you have up there. You get the Pro Picks page and Pro Tips. More is offered. Just check out everything you have up on the website of VSiN.com. And if you're not a subscriber, check out your options at VSiN.com/subscribe. Tell you what, when you go up there, I'll give you, me personally, I'm going to make this decision, $9.99. How about that? That's the introductory offer I have decided. Really quickly, because we are getting more out of Florida State. Do want to hit on this because it is the story of the day. Mike Norvell, head coach from Florida State, did release a statement, Pam. I am disgusted and infuriated with the committee's decision today to have what was earned on the field taken away because a small group of people decided they knew better than the results of the games. What is the point of playing games? He does go on. He's very mad, and it's like 3 graphs. I'm not going to read all of them, but fury from Mike Norvell after Florida State was left out of the college football playoff. I officially rescind them from the don't give a F list. I think they're going to give a F.
They're going to give an F, and Georgia is probably less likely to. At the very least, Florida State, what we know from them, they have such a great defense. I would have loved to have seen it against a Michigan team. I would have loved to have seen it. Just come, they got here because of this defense, regardless of the quarterback situation. It has been very stout from start to finish. This is one heck of a pass rush. They are one of the best. They're literally the only FBS team to have shut down every single opponent they have played since week 3, since playing Clemson early in the season, at least one quarter. And we saw it come to fruition yesterday when they shut down Louisville in the first half. No other team can say that. and they're not in. I think a lot of teams could
probably shut down Louisville, but
I know, but you don't. But this has been. It's a very stout defense. It is legitimate, and that's a huge part of the reason why they got here. Jordan Travis, he did not win the games. The team collectively did, in large part because of this defense. I am devastated for them. That's it. It hurt. It sucks. It sucks.
We move on. I will say this really quickly.
We do.
Before we get to Jeffrey Benson and the other sports gambling angle to all of this. But in the big picture, and this has kind of been the rumblings of a lot of conversations about this decision from the committee. I think realistically, this does, and I told Brenton Musburger this when we walked in today, I do think this gets the ball rolling on the ACC eventually dissolving, only because if you're Florida State, you just went undefeated in your conference, you beat two SEC teams, and they were like, nah, sorry, not strong enough, we're out, we don't want you in. That doesn't happen to teams in the power conferences, we'll call it, in the Big Ten, in the SEC.
That's what happens to UCF.
You know, exactly. And if Florida State leaves, Clemson would soon enough, I think, leave after that. The powers would be gone. And then all of a sudden you're looking at an ACC team that just added, or an ACC that just added Stanford and SMU and Cal. And congrats. Now the Miami Hurricanes can maybe finally win the conference. But it's just not great, I think, for the Atlantic Coast Conference. And it's great for the power conferences that are going to be the SEC and the Big Ten when everything's all said and done. All right, with that, let's throw this up from Jeff Benson. So we are waiting for the bowl games to get posted across the board and to get announced. We will have, it sounds like, what we say, Caesar, 11:30 about bowl games are being announced, at least for the New Year's Six. So we'll have those coming up in the next 12 minutes. Jeff Benson, who works here at Circa behind the counter, will try and post the playoff games pretty quickly. They did after they were announced. Open in 3K sides, either limits, 1K on totals for the college football playoff. Try to be at 10,000 to 2,000 within a short time frame. As he notes, rest of the bowl games are going to open tomorrow in the normal $3,000 and $1,000 opener limits on side in total. Someone asked Paul Stone this, because this is, I think, a curious part about this, right? So during the week, the limits increase. And generally, when you see on a normal week, I think it's about Thursdays where the limits increase, right? And so on Thursdays, there is the thought that the line moves on Thursdays are the ones that you find a little bit more legitimate, because that's when the limits open up and that's when you can bet more money on these things. And that's when the syndicates and the real players start to get involved. I do wonder at this point, Pam, we're at the college football semifinals. We've talked about this a lot, right? And we'll ask this to Paul Stone. The numbers are tight, right? Have you ever seen Breaking Bad? You know, when he snorts the meth, what does he say? He's like, tight, 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 right? These numbers are tight. And so, if I'm somebody who has the capabilities of betting these limits at like $10,000 or so, and I do have an opinion that shapes the market, I do wonder if on a week like this, it's understandable when we're talking about throughout the week when we're on College Lines Revealed, right? Because those numbers aren't as tight. Wouldn't you just wait? Like, are there really guys and gals who shape the market getting in at this point right now? Because these numbers are so tight, there's no point in revealing your hand early. Correct. Why wouldn't you just wait until the limits open up, as he said, within a short amount of time? Again, I'm just spitballing. I could be completely wrong, and a professional bettor like Paul Stone come in and say, kid, I don't know what you're talking about here. But I, like, my line of thinking would be that, in that, like, some of these line moves early that we saw, like we saw Circa flash to pick really quickly. Well, again, we're talking about opening 3K limits on sides, not the biggest limit.
Right.
So was that a legitimate line move, that there was somebody smart out there that was willing to come in and bet Michigan or Alabama then? Or are the real players waiting to get involved once these open up, because these are some really tight numbers?
I think it's about risk assessment, too. Like, yes, it is a limit, but it is still putting money down on having less information for right now, like the college football playoff. These games aren't until January. That's 4 weeks from now. An injury could occur from now until then. There should be no rush, at least for the teams, as we get later into the New Year's Six, the college football playoff. There's no rush to bet these games unless you're unless you feel like you are acute with the market awareness and can pretty much predict at which line. If you think that right now Alabama's a 2-point dog, but Alabama could be a 2-point favorite, unless you're anticipating that, there's really no rush to run to the window today.
Yeah. I always say that too. Like, sometimes we see this in, like, I've talked about this with John Murray, who's the director over at the Superbook, and I brought it up a couple of times, where you'll see, like, the people who shape the market, they don't have patience, essentially. So, like, you'll see a number that clearly looks like it's going to get to 3.
Correct.
But they'll still come in and take 2.5. And it's right. Like, what do we just wait? Just wait. So I do wonder if there is a something to that, but we'll see if that's going to be the case. All right, so what do you got?
I'm not at all calling myself a sharp bettor, and I'm not one of the people who likes to bet early, but I did take Alabama last week at the opening line of 5.5, and I was wrong. I thought that it would come in closer to Alabama, but the line went against me in 6.5, and I was like, oh, I could have waited. If I waited two more days, I would have had a better line, and obviously it was not needed, but I mean, there are people out there who are smarter than I who say, yes, right now is the day to grab it. Now I'm going to wait a few weeks.
So I wanted to bring this up really quick, and we'll get back to all of these games. So the one thing that's going to be pretty fascinating is move forward. We know that this is the last year for the 14 playoff. Next year, the powers that be were so mad that Florida State got left off, they decided to scrap it. And next year, they're going to have a 12-team playoff. I guarantee it. So we're going to get the 12-team playoff next year. Interestingly enough, because you're the Big 12 gal, so I want to get your thoughts. In the format that the current 12-team playoff would be, your playoff teams would be Michigan in any order seeding-wise, right? Michigan, Washington, Texas, Florida State, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Missouri, Penn State, Ole Miss, those top 11 ranked teams. And then you take the highest rated group of five team, which would mean SMU would get in over Oklahoma. So there's still going to be these conversations that we have all the time. But I think that once we expand, it's going to get a little bit better. I can't wait to see some of the semifinals and true home games. Like, that's going to be a lot of fun. The opening rounds. It's going to be a lot of fun. But in terms of our conversations that we're having, I know a lot of people think that the regular season won't matter as much. I think it'll matter a lot more. I think you're going to get these seedings. But these 12-team playoffs are going to be fantastic next year.
The playoff now, the playoff later, the playoff in the future, it doesn't really matter. They're not going off of a computer system that says this is A through B and this is A through C and this is how it's going to work. What they're telling us is opinion is always going to come into way. Human error is always going to come into way.
I'd rather be the computer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless you're giving me a computer, there's always going to be the human element to it. So there's always going to be a year where somebody is unhappy with something. That's just the nature of the sport right now.
Yeah, this is like four teams. I think it was Bud Elliott over at CBS Sports. I'll give credit for this because I thought it as well. I always thought like the first initial foray into college football playoff should have been six teams, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the old NFL format, which is give the top two teams byes, let the others duke it out, and then you go from there in true road games. And you know, six gives you that, hey, all five Power Five champions, and then right, your highest ranked group of five. Like, that gives you that perfect format for people to get in, and it lets football decide what's going on instead of the top four teams, right? Just win your conference and you're in. Pretty simple. And then the human element comes in was when you decide who the highest ranked group of five team is, and that generally is a pretty good, that's pretty easy to decide here. Like, again, this year, you're talking about SMU and Liberty, so maybe there's a quibble like, hey, SMU over Liberty, whatever, or vice versa. But I always thought six was, like, four just leaves you with this, like, what we're doing now, right? Like, if we had had a six-team playoff to begin with,
it would be Alabama and Georgia.
We're talking about Michigan, Washington, Texas, Florida State, Alabama, Georgia. Yeah. Boom. Pretty easy, right?
I mean, J.J. Watt tweeted that yesterday. Emergency six-game playoff. Yes, in full agreement. Why aren't we doing that? This is the final year of the four-game playoff. Make it six because it's going to be different next year. Why not? Think out of the box, people. That's going to be huge ratings if you had the 16 playoff. And isn't that what it's about? Money making coming in?
Yep.
Missed opportunity.
All right. Well, we'll take a break here. Coming up in 15 minutes, by the way, I will make it 20 minutes. We're going to have Paul Stone with us. We'll get his thoughts on what we have seen, of course, with the college football playoff semifinals, which are set, and see what he's got any action. We'll get his thoughts, too, on our conversation about these limits as well and whether or not it's worth coming in early when these numbers are as tight as they are and that these things are going to be up for a long time, too. And you're not going to see massive movement one way or the other over the next month or so. That's coming up in 15. When we come back, though, we reset the stage for what's going to happen in the college football playoffs. Don't go anywhere. It's College Lines Revealed here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sorry, I'm laughing. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Shameless plug. Oh, like the drum stopped right when I said it. That was perfect. check out the NBA in-season tournament write-ups for myself and Zach Cohen up at the website at vsin.com. Got an NBA in-season tournament hub. All right, Pam.
Yeah.
So let's reset this right now. Alabama, Michigan, Texas, Washington. The lines. Michigan is a 2-point favorite. Total is 46. Washington, 4.5-point underdog with a total of 63.5. Haven't really seen much movement. Again, the real move up today, we will note, is Circa did go down to pick for about 5 minutes on Alabama, Michigan. Did get bet back up here at Circa, where we currently rest our behinds at. It is sitting at 1.5. And as I speak, we have, Superbook flashing to 1.5 in favor of Alabama. So slow trickle. Again, I don't think you're going to see much, and we're starting to see some other sides follow suit. So we're probably going to get to 1.5 by the end of the day. No question. Real question is, where do you go from there? Flip of favorites isn't really too big of a deal. So we'll see if that's going to happen. As for Texas, Washington, some moves of note, some spots open to 5. We're down to 4 in most places. 64 is the predominant total. 63.5 are out there. Market moving where I kind of thought, like, right. And I'm still, I don't think, you know, right from 5 to 4.5, not that big of a difference. Right. Still playable at Washington plus 4.5. Before we get to these, though, our producer Caesar was asking, I think a lot of people would look at this and go, okay, cool. I always like this question. Mm-hmm. When the NBA playoffs start, I always get the, hey, who am I betting in the futures? And like, right, the general question, I always hate to be boring. It's like, well, actually, at this point, there's no real value in betting futures, right? The point of futures and betting them is you want to bet them before the market moves, because these are all, for the most part, adequately priced. So when we say the market is tight, right? Again, going back to Tuco from Breaking Bad, tight. When it's tight, it is because, like, everything's tight. We're talking about the side, the total, the futures market, everything here. So is there, I'll just ask you the general question, is there value in betting anything futures-wise in the college football playoff at a 4-team field?
The only way that you are betting a futures on the college football playoff is if you believe that a favorite is going to win it, because you're not going to have a plus money value when they're bound, like Michigan or Texas, who are both favorites in their first matchup. Michigan will likely be the favorite regardless, semifinal or in the college football playoff championship. Michigan would probably be the only one that you would want to take. If you are a believer in like somebody like Washington at 7-1 right now, you're likely to get better odds rolling them over on a money line parlay. Right now, you can get them at plus 170. They're going to be underdogs to Alabama or Michigan. And then they would probably be around the same, if not more. So let's say you're getting, let me do that math real quick. 7-1. It's about 7-1. It's the same odds. If they are roughly about plus 200 in the semifinal. So no, there is no value.
I like that. That was good. The quick clacking of the keys. That was a,
because right now they're plus 170, and assuming that they're minimum plus two to one underdogs, it's the same 7-1 that you're getting.
So there's no real general purpose in doing this in any way, shape, or form. Again, like you said, the rollover parlay is the way to go, but pretty simple. 4 games, when it's been whittled down and it's this tight, you're not going to find much value in betting a future. And in fact, they're still up for a reason. There's a high hold here.
The time,
they want you to bet them.
Well, we talked about this in yesterday's in yesterday's segment of the money line rollover parlay. That would have been the time to take Washington because they were 9.5 dogs. You're definitely getting more value for them as a 9-1 underdog at plus 900. Roll that over into their plus plus 170 now. That would automatically
And to your point, actually, in reality, where the rolling money line parlay should have started with Washington was when they were 9.5-point underdogs on Friday night. Right. If you thought Washington was going to win it.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. You're betting them against Oregon. You're taking all those winnings. You're betting them here against Texas.
What was the money line? Weren't they like 9-1?
They wouldn't have been 9-1 at minus 9.5, I don't think. We'll have to get that. But the overall point is, like, that's the way that you're going to look when it comes to those, right?
Yeah.
There's not much when you're setting to the 4-team playoff. So. All right. Good. Good knowledge 100. For anybody out there. You're still going to get people to bet it, but go ahead. What do you got?
So right now, if you had bet $100 and they were 4-1 underdogs in the Pac-12 championship, plus the plus 170 money line rollover right now, that value would have given you 13-1 odds.
There you go. See?
So that would have been the time to have do it. At this point, it's too late.
It's the way to go. Unless you got the rolling money line parlay from game one, right? You just rolled it over the entire time. I think Washington's going to do this thing. I would not want to do the math of that. Please don't do the math on that. We don't have to. Okay. So big picture is set. National championship odds. No real reason to bet futures here. Individual games. First, the floor is yours. Michigan and Alabama. Has your thoughts changed at all in the hour and a half that we have been together?
Not at all. It is still Alabama on the money line. Blake Corum, he has been getting a lot of the bulk of the carries as of late with J.J. McCarthy. Kind of still looking. I don't know who he is as a quarterback. He has yet to really show us what he is capable of.
Are we sure if about
you
that?
If you put it into the hands of Blake Corum, I am still not a believer that he is as good of a running back right now than he was at this time last season. He is the only player, however, he is the only player on offense and defense in the FBS to have a score in every single game. The problem is he has to be at the goal line in order for that to happen. He is great on first and goal, second and goal, those short positions, but he is averaging only 3 yards per carry against Iowa. Six of his last seven games, he's averaged below 4 yards per carry. He has a lack of efficiency right now, and he is not as explosive last year. Last year, he was number one in almost every running back efficiency metric. Right now, he's sitting outside of the top 50 of running graded running backs for efficiency, outside of the top 65 for explosive runs. He's just not as explosive. Now you have a one guy on that run offense. Texas, tell me they're not going to be able to shut him down, because they have shown it multiple times. We saw it against Texas Tech, one of the better rushing offenses as a unit in the country. We saw it yesterday against Ollie Gordon. He averaged 2.5 yards per carry, and he is the most explosive back in the country. Now you want to give me a bruised and battered Blake Corum? Put it in the hands of J.J. McCarthy. I don't know who he is as a quarterback. Against Maryland, that was the only game. He had one interception on 4 turnover-worthy plays. That was a one game recently where Michigan did not rely on the run game. And then what do we see? J.J. McCarthy, hey, it turns out he's not as good. Now yeah. You're going up against a better defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think we know what J.J. McCarthy is. I think he might stink. That's
yeah.
Right? I agree with you. All right, so we're getting bulls set for the New Year's Six. Let's see how these tickle your fancy so far being announced. Peach Bowl, Ole Miss will take on Penn State. Cotton Bowl, Ohio State will take on Missouri. That sounds like a somewhat sexy matchup. Can't wait to watch that and what that's going to look like. Let's see. Currently set. Let's see. I'm going to pull these up really quickly. Forgive me. All right. Hawaii Bowl, San Jose State, Coastal Carolina, as we know. Looks like the New Orleans Bowl. This might be set. I don't know if these are actually set or not. I think there's projections.
Maybe projections.
Yeah. These for sure, the New Year's Six Bowls are going to be Oregon SMU and the Fiesta Bowl. All right, so that's going to be a good one. I think those are two highly motivated teams. We know that Ohio State and Penn State will play in the Peach Bowl. We know that Missouri and Ohio State will play in the Cotton Bowl. Ole Miss, Penn State will play in the Peach Bowl.
Ole Miss.
Missouri and Ohio State will play in the Cotton Bowl.
Got it.
And then we know in the Orange Bowl, we will get Florida State and Georgia. And then Oregon and SMU will play in the Fiesta Bowl. So those are what we have as of right now. Those are our New Year's Six Bowls.
I like Ohio State because they have a lot of young guys that are going to be returning production next year. So we're going to be seeing a lot of them still in the mix for motivation. SMU, very still difficult to want to back them because of no quarterback in Preston Stone. Penn State can never back Drew Aller. Ole Miss would be the side. Early thoughts.
Well, for right now, we don't know what these bowl lines are. Correct. But I would say, for example, Missouri is going to be an underdog to Ohio State.
Yeah.
But Missouri is a very good team. I think offensively, too, I'm going to be very intrigued to see how Missouri matches up offensively, right, with this Ohio State defense and what that's going to look like. And Ohio State, remember, they actually do have guys that are going to be going for the draft. Right? Marvin Harrison Jr., is he going to play for Ohio State in this matchup? Is going to be pretty interesting to watch, and if that's going to be the case. So I think, like, as of now, from a power rating standpoint, I'd be interested to see what this number would be between these two. I would think Ohio State would be in the range of about a 6.5-point favorite. That might be a little bit on the heavy side. I don't know if it's going to be a full touchdown, but I think I'd have Missouri circled only in that I don't know what you're going to do if you're Marvin Harrison Jr. Do you want to play in this game? And as we have seen, as you and I have made fun of them for, the Ohio State offense does seem to be, F it, Marvin Harrison Jr. is out there somewhere.
That is a huge factor. First quarter unders back in the mix for this bowl game. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I was thinking more so of just Kyle McCord, but the first position that I'm going to be wanting to look at, of course, is the quarterback position for every team. Are you staying or are you sitting? Let me know. And then from there, I'll go assess.
And to your point, I mean, so I agree, obviously, in general, that Drew Aller is not a quarterback that I want to run to go back. Having said that, Ole Miss comes in with the 83rd ranked rush defense by EPA standards.
Right.
They can come in, run the ball, have some success. Aller's not going to have to do that much.
Correct.
From a power rating standpoint, I mean, where does, let me see, Johnny Avellas, we got these numbers, these rankings. We can guesstimate at least who would be favored and who wouldn't. Penn State and Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not inside of the top 10, so you'd assume that Penn State's going to be favored against Ole Miss. Again, maybe a very short favorite, but a favorite nonetheless. So be interested to see what that number will be. Because I think I've told you before, I'm just not a big fan of Ole Miss. I don't think they're as good as the rankings say. I think people see a SEC team with a strong amount of wins. How many wins does Ole Miss have anyway?
And if Max Johnson can have an elite game against the Ole Miss secondary, then
I think Penn State defensively is
going to be. So can Drew Aller. They do well against bad teams.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be something there. And then finally, Oregon and SMU. I mean, I think you can make the argument. Could I have included Oregon on the don't give a F list?
Doesn't care list.
You know, after losing two straight like that, but losing two games to Washington, be pretty interesting. All right, New Year's Six are set. We can refresh those really quick after we talk to Paul Stone, who joins us next here on College Lines Revealed. Don't go anywhere.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're always debating what a team needs to do to get into the college football playoff, for crying out loud. But Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. They're not the college football playoff, but they're one of the best. In fact, they're the best. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn, your local convenience store, or online at Zyn.com, ZYN.com. Warning: product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. I was Ron Burgundy. It's not my fault, but we were fed false information. They click a quick cleanup here. Oregon will not face SMU in the Fiesta Bowl. They will face Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl. So change of things there in terms of the matchup. We will see if that will, we'll see if some of the moving parts, including Bo Nix, ends up playing in that one. Some of the others really quickly before we get to Paul Stone that have been announced. New Mexico State will take on Fresno State in the New Mexico Bowl. Utah State and Georgia State will play in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. As of now, barring any corrections to those, we'll see if that is going to change at any point. With that, let's welcome in Paul Stone, professional handicapper. It's nice enough to give us some time, as he has throughout this entire season. Paul, it's the last episode of College Lines Revealed, and you're the last person we're going to talk to, so we appreciate it. So let's just start with your general thoughts here. As a guy who watched a ton of college football, what'd you make of Florida State getting left out and Alabama getting put in?
Well, you know, I tweeted right before, probably about 15 minutes before the announcement, that I thought the order would be as it was. You know, I had Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama in that order. Obviously, this is a subjective process. You know, teams don't play in the same conferences. They don't play the same schedules. I'm in agreement with it. I know a lot of people are incensed, including Mike Norvell, obviously, and I feel terrible for them. But, you know, just based on the totality of the circumstances, the fact that Jordan Travis is injured and won't be playing anymore this season. I thought they had the right four teams, so to speak. You look at Florida State, you look at Jeff Sagarin's rankings today. Those rankings include Jordan Travis at quarterback for 11 of the 13 games. He has Florida State number 10. Sonny Moore, another guy who does a great job with power ratings, up to date. Again, Travis, 11 of the 13 games reflected. He has Florida State at 12. Paul Stone has Florida State at 12. And I know it's not a power ranking, but Florida State's, you know, they would be a double-digit underdog to basically any team in the field, even as good as they've been defensively the last two games. They did everything they could have done. They couldn't have done more. It's the best four teams, though, and I think they got it right.
So, Paul, my only argument on that, because I know a lot of people have been using that as the argument, right, especially with the double-digit underdog thing. But if we're doing that, all right, let's kick out Washington. They don't deserve to be in. Put in Oregon, because Oregon would still be favored, right, over Washington. So, for me, it's the inconsistency of how we're doing this, because if we are going by that metric, then Washington doesn't deserve to be in. And, in fact, our top four should be Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon.
Well, Washington beat Oregon two times. Oregon's a great football team. Certainly Washington stumbled down the second half of the year. And that's the thing that made it so difficult for the committee this year, JBT, is these teams, there's no great team. You look at these four teams, they're all very good, and any of the four teams in the tournament could win. So Florida State, I do not deny or just totally discount the arguments for Florida State. But I mean, if you look at their game against Boston College in week three, they gave up 457 yards to a team that's just ranked a little bit better than 100th right now overall in the 133 Division I teams. If Boston College doesn't get penalized 18 times for 131 yards, you know, they might have won that game. So it's a tough job. There's no question about it. And I truly, I feel horrible for Florida State. It's a very difficult pill to swallow, and I understand people being disappointed with it.
Paul, you're typically one of those bettors that likes to fire off bets on Sunday, the early lines grabbing the best line possible for that line value. But with only a few games right now on slate, namely the college football playoff, how has your process changed? Will it be changing today as the games are released and the lines are revealed for the bowl games?
You know, for these two semifinals, and now some other lines will start trickling out. But for the semifinals, as bettors, Pam, you know, we have the confidence that everybody's going to play, you know, outside of injuries. Xavier Worthy, I think he'll be ready, but that's certainly one to watch on the Texas side. But we can handicap these games and perhaps fire away. But in general terms, the remainder of the games, my approach has really changed. You know, I do like to bet first. I do like to bet at market-making books. But you got to wait now. You know, you just don't know who's going to opt out. It's just a different ball game. But looking at the lines that are out right now, Texas was favored by 4.5 right when they came out, at least one book. I didn't fire on Washington plus 4.5, but I tend to, kind of lean toward the Huskies at that number. Texas is a complete football team, but if they've got a vulnerability, it's in that back four. It's in that secondary. And you've got receivers like Rome Odunze, who went to Bishop Gorman High School, the alma mater, I believe, of the JVT.
Correct.
And then you got Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. I mean, they just pose tremendous matchup problems for teams, and Texas will be one of those teams. I think Washington's going to pass from the second they get off the bus and see what they can do. So I kind of like Washington plus the points there.
So, Paul, how much have you and how much do you think the market has upgraded Washington, if at all, since that game against Oregon, right? Because they were obviously very low on them. The close is about 9.5-point underdogs. That's, I would assume, some upgrade here with the market being as wrong as it was in that game, but you can't overreact too much. What's been the upgrade here for the Huskies?
Yeah, I think about a point. I mean, that's what I did. You know, I was concerned that Washington had played their best football the first half of the season, because their previous six games going into Friday night's game there at Allegiant Stadium, it had all been competitive, and they looked like they were kind of sleepwalking and not playing at that championship level. And now they flipped the switch again. You know, they look like they did early in the year. And Michael Penix Jr., I don't think he was the same down the stretch. Physically, he just looked off. I think this time off will be good for him. And if that passing game looks like it did the month of September and the first half of October, Longhorns going to have their hands full.
Looking at the Michigan and Alabama game, that's very intriguing, because I would believe that Alabama is definitely more well-rounded on offense, whereas Michigan is kind of gridlocked by having the heavy run offense. What do you make of this matchup? Is there an area to exploit at the early lines?
I'm kind of like you there, Pam. Michigan, I think, opened at 2.5, and I think now mostly market-wide, at least at some books, only favored by 1.5. And what Alabama's going to do defensively is they are going to try to get Michigan into a situation where J.J. McCarthy has to throw the ball. They're going to try to make him beat them. And, I probably lean towards Alabama here at this point. They've just made such great strides throughout the season. Jalen Milroe, what he's done, you know, benched in game 3 when they experimented and played Ty Simpson and Tyler Buckner. He's just been a different guy. You know, he still makes some questionable throws and that type of thing, but he's become a weapon. You're not winning in spite of Jalen Milroe now. You can win because of him. So I really like his trajectory. And like you, I think Alabama, you know, just a team from the, I know people have SEC fatigue and it wasn't one of their better years this year, but I'll take that SEC pedigree in a near pick'em game, probably when it comes down to it, against the Wolverines.
Paul, when you're using your ratings, how intricate do you go? You know, for example, like one of the reasons why I lean toward Alabama very heavily and the under in this game is the offensive line for Michigan, right? Zach Zinter goes down against Ohio State, right? Tackle's been a problem. From your power ratings, does it go that deep and granular? Do you factor in Zinter to the number here?
Sure. I mean, the line maker, kind of, I was hoping for a total in the high 40s, and I think right now it might be at 46. Not only Michigan's offensive line weakened by the loss of All-American guard Zach Zinter, as you mentioned, but Alabama's offensive line the last couple of years, they hadn't been at the level that they've been some of these past championship editions. And if you look at how many sacks they've allowed the last couple of years, how many tackles for loss, it's very, very average. So both these teams you know, not quite where they've been offensive line wise, and both with tremendous defenses and especially tremendous defensive fronts. So I think points very well might be at a premium in that Michigan-Alabama semifinal.
All about a minute left. There's one game that nobody is talking about. Army-Navy. Come on. It's the only game on Saturday. What are you doing with this one? With a low, low total of 28.5, not named Iowa involved.
I tell you, these totals going below 30 now. The line makers finally wised up, and they're not just going to give away money on some of these unders. So you can't just automatically play Army-Navy and the other service academy games, combinations under. But, you know, I have not played it yet, but I kind of lean towards Army. But this is such a interesting game, and you can truly throw out the records. Don't have a play yet. Actually had the privilege last year of going to the game there, and Philadelphia played in Philadelphia last year. So that was a big thrill from a spectator standpoint. But no opinion, really. But I kind of lean towards Army, and we'll be looking heavily into that game later today.
Paul, it's always good to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me. Y'all have a great weekend, great bowl season.
Yep, you too, man. Really quickly, this will be of great interest to you. Did you see what the Alamo Bowl will be?
No.
Oklahoma.
Hey.
And Arizona.
Hey.
That's going to be a good one.
That should be a really good bowl game. Our boy, Noah Fafita.
Yeah, that should be a very fun and good bowl game. Can't wait to watch that. All right, these are coming out. Those will be out tomorrow. Lines for every single one of these bowl games here at Circa. So throughout the week, of course, here at VSIN, we'll have that. Keep an eye on the website as bowl games get posted. We're going to have our write-ups due this week as well. We'll have a couple of those too. So keep your eye up on VSIN.com. Until then, live bet Sunday over the D carries it through the day. We'll see you.